The Bridesmaid by Ruth Randall, dramatized by Betty Davis, with Jamie Glover as Philip and Rachel Lewis as Santa.
Violent death fascinates people. Most people, not me. I've always had, well, I suppose you'd call it a phobia. A phobia for all forms of killing. Killing in war, killing in senseless accidents, killing in murder. I didn't want to make a fuss about it, so I watched the news with the rest of the family. Northern Ireland, Yugoslavia, Angola, and a train crash in France. And Rebecca Neve. The others knew what I felt, but that didn't stop them talking about Rebecca Neve.
There is still no response to the police appeal for information about the missing London girl, Rebecca Neve. Rebecca, 23, disappeared 3 days ago.
But they think it's murder.
When she was last seen, she was wearing a green velvet tracksuit and white trainers. Her mother, Mrs. Neve, made this appeal at a press conference this afternoon.
Rebecca met someone that night. I'm sure she did. She'd advertised for jobs as a babysitter and somebody rang up in answer. She had an appointment the evening she disappeared. Please, if anyone knows anything...
Oh, the poor woman, what she must be going through. I know how I'd feel if it were any of you.
Well, it's hardly likely to be me, Mum. Can I turn it off now?
Oh, if you like. You can't stand anything like that, can you, Phil?
Oh, sorry. I was interested because I was at school with her.
Why can't they put nice things on the news? There must be some nice things.
That might be an idea. They could have a list of all the people who've been in car crashes and didn't get killed. What have we expected tomorrow?
Oh, that's right. Change the subject. That's so like you.
Gerard said to be there about 6. I wanted to ask you. Could you all come out into the garden for a minute?
What for?
I want your advice.
What about?
Flora.
Flora. She was a statue. A Roman statue, 3 feet high. She'd stood in our garden as long as I could remember. First in the big garden at Barnet, then, after Dad died, in our shabby little Cricklewood garden. Mum laid her hand on Flora's head and gave it a little stroke, the way she might have caressed a child.
What would you say if I told you I'd like to give her to Gerard?
What? You can't give people statues.
Why not, if they like them? That time he came for dinner when you were all out, he said he liked her. He said she reminded him of me.
You give people chocolates or a bottle of wine.
He brought me a bottle of wine. I don't think she really looks like me. She's always reminded me of a bridesmaid. I expect it's the flower she's holding.
May Blossom. She's the goddess of spring and May Blossom.
I've thought for ages she was wasted here. She looks silly.
Silly?
I mean, she makes the rest of it look silly.
Like putting champagne in a plastic cup.
That's it, exactly.
You can give her away if you want to. She's yours, not ours. Dad gave her to you.
I think of everything as ours. Gerard says he's got a lovely garden. I'd feel better about Flora if she were in her proper setting.
And we'll take her with us tomorrow. It didn't seem very important at the time. It wasn't one of those life or death decisions like whether or not to marry or have a child or have that vital surgery. But in its way, it mattered as much as any of these.
Hello, Hardy. Good dog, then. Oh, we'll have to lock him in the kitchen tomorrow.
Oh, can't we take him with us?
Not really. Gerard doesn't like dogs. Oh, he's not cruel to them or anything. Just doesn't care for them much. Could tell he didn't like Hardy that evening he was here.
Seems Flora reminded me. Rebecca Neve once made a girl's head.
What on earth do you mean?
In clay, in the pottery class. The teacher made her break it up because we were only supposed to be making pots. And just imagine, she may be lying dead somewhere.
I'd rather not imagine, thank you. I'm not fascinated by these things the way you are.
It's not that I'm fascinated. We're all interested in murder and violence and crime. They say it's because we've got elements of it in ourselves. We're all capable of murder. We all sometimes want to attack people, to hurt them.
I don't.
He really doesn't fear. You know he doesn't. He doesn't like talking about it either, so shut up.
So we set off the following evening, leaving Hardy barking wistfully in the kitchen. He was called after Hardy Amos, not Thomas Hardy. I carried Flora in a plastic bag. She was very heavy.
I'm quite nervous. I do hope you like him.
Stop saying that, Mum.
Thing is, will he like us?
Of course he will. Don't be silly, dear. Oh, it's a nice area, isn't it? Lovely house.
Very nice.
Such a pity he's got to sell it.
Why has he got to sell it?
He has to share the proceeds with his ex-wife.
I thought his wife was dead. Oh, how yucky.
Christine! Oh.
Gerard, this is my family. Fiona, my eldest, the one I told you was getting married.
Hello.
And Philip, he's with a firm of interior designers.
Hello, sir.
And this is Cheryl, she's just left school.
Hello.
Hello. And, who's this?
Don't you remember? She's Flora, who was in my garden. You said you liked her, so I brought her for you. She's yours now.
Very kind. Well, you'd better come in. We'll install Flora, shall we? The garden's at the back. Put her down there.
Okay.
Philip, isn't it? She must be heavy.
Oh, she looks just right here. I knew she would. Seems a shame she can't stay forever. You'll just have to take her with you when you move.
Yes.
Expect you'll have another nice garden wherever it is.
I hope so. Well, come inside and have a drink. After that, I suggest you let me take you all out for a meal somewhere.
Oh, that would be lovely!
It wasn't particularly. We all piled into his Jaguar and he took us to the local steakhouse. And Fee went on about Rebecca Neve. Again.
They said the police had got a man helping them with their inquiries. I bet it's her boyfriend. If a person gets murdered, the police always think it's her husband or her boyfriend. What, do you think that's awful?
Why do we have to think about it? Who cares about these revolting things?
She's probably dead already. And they found the body and they're keeping it dark to trap someone.
If that's true, it'll come out at the inquest. In this country, the police don't keep things dark.
Who are you trying to kid, Cheryl?
Tell me about Flora, Christine. How did you come to get her?
Oh, well, we were on our honeymoon in Florence, and I saw Flora in an antique shop window, and I said, wasn't she lovely? You tell him what happened, Cheryl, the way Dad told you.
Mum said she'd be terribly expensive, but Dad was never one to go on about things costing a lot. He said her face was like Mum's, but I don't see it. Well, do you?
Perhaps a bit.
Anyway, that's why Dad liked her. He said, tell you what, we'll have a bet on it. I think she's Venus. If she isn't, I'll buy her for you.
Dad was a bit of a gambler. He paid for the honeymoon out of his Derby winnings.
Well, the man said she wasn't Venus. She was the Farnese Flora. So Dad had to buy her after that. She cost a lot. Hundreds of thousands of... or whatever their money's called. And they had to have her sent home because they couldn't carry her in the aircraft.
You make me feel I shouldn't have accepted her. She's far too valuable a gift.
Gerard, I want you to have her, please. It means a lot to me. Makes me happy to think of her there.
And that settled the matter and gave Gerard his cue to call for the waiter. I'd thought he'd only drive us to Buckhurst Hill Station, but he took us all the way home.
I thought we'd better leave them to have a word or two on their own.
I like the Jack. What did you think of him?
Well, he's all right, I suppose.
Oh, no lingering farewells.
Well, what? Did you like him? Philip?
He seemed very nice.
Yes, he's okay.
Sure. Yeah, I liked him. He's a lot older than Dad, though. I mean, he looks older.
He's 51. I put my foot in it, didn't I?
What do you mean?
I realised it when we went in. I'd said to him I wanted him to meet all of you, and he sort of smiled and said he'd like to, and the next thing he said was to come on Saturday. I thought he meant all of us, but he must have meant just me.
Why must he?
There was a little table laid for two. I saw it when we went through. Oh, well, it's a nice evening anyway.
When are you seeing him again?
Not for a while. He's going to America on business next week.
How long for?
About 4 weeks, I think.
How long did you say he'd be away?
4 weeks.
Oh, I thought so. It's nearly 4 months now.
He wouldn't be away on a business trip that long. He did send her a card from the States.
Oh, big deal. She's tried to phone him, but the number's unobtainable. She told me so herself. She thought perhaps his phone was out of order.
Well, he was going to move. Don't you remember? He's moved without telling her.
And I thought we might have a double wedding in May. Darren and me and Mum and Gerard. Phil, are you still going out with Jenny?
Well, no.
Oh, I was going to ask her to be one of my bridesmaids. But I shan't if you've split up.
I suppose we have. We didn't quarrel or anything, just drifted. I don't want to pick it up again.
Then I'll have to ask Centre.
Who sent her?
Darren's cousin. There'll be Senta and Janice and Cheryl and Stephanie. You'll like her. Phil?
Mm?
Don't you think he ought to give Flora back?
What?
Well, she's valuable. She isn't a plastic garden gnome. If he doesn't want Mum, he ought to send Flora back. Look at that space where she used to stand. It spoiled the garden. Mum really thought he'd marry her, you know.
I suppose she hoped he would.
Oh, she was sure of it. Well, you know Mum. She's like a child sometimes. It was a sort of confidence, but she didn't say I wasn't to tell you.
Tell me what?
Don't let on till I told you. That time he came here when we were all out, they... well, had sex, made love, whatever you call it, in a bedroom. Suppose one of us had come in. It would have been very embarrassing.
Why did she tell you?
I think it was because I told her about Senta's mother. Well, she's always having affairs, and she's got a new lover, not yet 30. I told Mum, and that's when she came out with it. I had an affair with Gerard. Well, just the once. You know how she gets expressions just that little bit wrong? That's why she was so sure he'd marry her.
But the...
I know. Any other woman would think just the reverse, especially someone that age. But you know Mum.
Oh, I wish you hadn't told me.
It disturbed me very much. I don't know why. Somehow I seemed to have become my mother's father, and she was the child who'd been seduced and deserted. I tried to push it out of my mind, but I couldn't. And then something happened that made things worse.
I've got a job for you tomorrow, Philip. Client wants a bedroom converted to a bathroom.
Okay, Roy, where is it?
Chigwell. A Mrs. Ripple. Bit of a battle axe, by all accounts. But you can handle that, I'm sure, eh? Turn on the charm.
Chigwell. Is that anywhere near Buckhurst Hill?
Yes, it is. Why?
I used to know someone who lived out there. Champagne bath and basin. Vanity unit with black marble top and black and gold tiles. It should look very nice, Mrs. Ripple.
I hope so, I'm sure. You charge enough for it. And careful with those field glasses when you're measuring the window. They cost a bomb.
I'll be very careful.
I'll leave you to measure up.
The window was to be double glazed. I took the measurements meticulously and then opened it and looked outside. I was looking at the back gardens of the houses opposite. It was all very pretty. The trees were in blossom and the tulips in bloom. And in one garden, a small statue. It looked familiar, but I couldn't believe it. It was too far away to tell for certain, until I remembered the field glasses. I focused them carefully.
Oh, no, it can't be.
But there was no mistake. I was looking at Flora. She was covered with pink petals from the may tree above her, but I could see the green stain at the side of her neck and the chip out of her left ear. I'd made that myself with my catapult when I was 10. Dad had docked my pocket money for 3 weeks. Suddenly it came to me that I was looking at Gerard Arnhem's new home.
Well, finished?
Yes. I'll be in touch when the layout's completed, and you'll see me again when the work begins.
When's that going to be? Sometime next year?
Oh, a few weeks at the most.
I'll believe it when I see it.
I didn't go straight home. I drove round the block to see the front of Gerard's house. A woman was looking out of a downstairs window. She was a big, dark, handsome woman, younger than Mum. As I watched, she brushed her hair back from her forehead, and I saw the wedding ring on her left hand. Gerard Arnhem had married...
Bastard! The rotten bastard!
A wave of anger swept through me, unlike anything I'd ever felt before. I hated Gerard Arnhem. My mother should have been living in that house, looking after that garden. I don't know how long I sat there. I couldn't have driven away. I was distraught. I was trembling with rage. And then I heard a car start up. It came out of Arnhem's driveway and passed me. His wife was driving. It was a small runabout, not the Jag. Perhaps that was a company car. Arnhem would have it at his office. His office? Of course! I realised suddenly that the house would be empty.
Hello, Flora. Remember me?
It was strange. I'd known her all my life, but now I felt I was looking at her for the first time. I'd never realized how beautiful she was. She wasn't really like my mother. Mum was still a pretty woman in her own way, but not like that. She hadn't got the heavy look of most old statues. She was delicately beautiful, like a lovely living girl. But her eyes, wide apart, gazing away into infinity, it didn't belong to any living girl. They were the eyes of a pagan goddess. I looked at her a long time, too long, and suddenly, madly, I thought that if ever I saw a real woman with that face, I'd fall in love with her at once.
Flora, I've come to take you home.
Excuse me, what do you think you're doing?
Oh, my God.
It's all right. No one followed me. Anyway, she doesn't belong there. She belongs to us. Don't you? What am I to do with you, though? I can't put you back in our garden. How could I explain that to Mum? Well, you'll just have to live up in my room. Until I can think of a story.
Surprise bait, please. Open up with the prize bait. Over here, ladies. That's right.
The four girls grouped themselves round Fee. They were wearing fairly hideous dresses, puffball net skirts with orange spots, and they looked grotesque. All except one.
Now, that's right, ladies. Now, a nice smile. Lovely.
Senta. It must be Senta. She didn't look like Darren's cousin. She didn't look like anybody's cousin. She looked extraordinary.
Thank you. Now, hold it, girls. This is positively the last one.
Her skin was very white. As white as the inside of a seashell, and her lips were almost as pale. Her hair, long, straight and smooth, was silver. And her face... Her face was Flora's face.
Oh, I must have one shot with him. He's so sweet. It'll be quite all right to hold him. He's just being shampooed. Here, boy. Here, Hardy. There.
What a peculiar dog. He has orange spots.
He matches your dresses.
Did you do it on purpose?
No. Cheryl splashed him when she was colouring her hair. It wouldn't come out when my mother washed him.
I thought he must be some rare breed. Are you Philip, Fee's brother?
That's right.
Senta Pelham.
I've never met anyone called Senta before.
It's the name of the girl in the Flying Dutchman.
Philip!
Excuse me. Yes, Mother?
The car's here to take me and your aunties to the church and the one for the bridesmaids.
That's all right. Everyone's ready.
But you won't forget to shut Hardy up in the kitchen before you leave. Otherwise, he'll do a wee-wee on the white rug. You know, he always does that when he's excited.
I won't forget.
Oh, come along, everyone. You're ready. Come on. Come on.
Oh, Phil. Oh, Lord, my mascara's smudged. I look awful, don't I?
No, you don't. You look fine.
Well, if it doesn't work out, we can always get divorced. Most people do.
Come on, calm down. You've known him for years. He's the one for you. The original childhood sweetheart.
Oh, do you know what I've been thinking? If only bloody Gerard Arnhem had done right by Mum, we could be having a double wedding.
It was the first wedding I'd been to since I was a child. I wasn't prepared for the feeling of anticlimax once the bride and groom had gone and people started drifting away from the reception. I hadn't exchanged another word with Senta, but every time I looked up, I found her eyes on me. Strange eyes, almost colourless, like clear water with a single swirling drop of dark green dye.
Will he be all right, dear? You could come to Auntie Rose with me, you know, if you'd like to.
No, thanks, Mum.
I didn't think you'd want to. You're driving the bridesmaids back to the house, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
They've left their change of clothes in Fee's room.
Yes, of course.
I think they're ready to leave now, aren't they, Cheryl?
Yeah, we're all ready. Except Senta.
Isn't she coming?
Not yet. She says she'll hitch a lift later.
Hitch?
Get a lift, I suppose she means.
Well, she'll need one. It's going to rain.
I felt unreasonably disappointed. Senta's gaze met mine as I looked across the room. She opened her eyes wider. Her lips parted, and she ran her tongue slowly and deliberately over her upper lip, and then her lower. I decided she was mocking me. I drove the other bridesmaids back to the house and left them to it. I got out of my wedding gear, put on jeans and a sweater, and took Hardy for a walk in spite of the rain. When I got back, everyone had gone. The house was empty. Empty and gloomy. A sudden impulse made me open the cupboard in my room and take out Flora. Her white marble skin glistened in the grey, rainy light. Just having her there seemed to improve the look of the room.
Flora? You can come out. They've all gone now. I wonder if they've missed you in Chigwell.
You are beautiful. But you're not unique, you know. I've seen your double today. Coming! Center.
Let me in quickly, please.
Yes, of course. Sorry.
Did you get a lift?
No, I had to walk.
Dress like that?
Yes. Is there a towel somewhere?
Oh, in the bathroom.
In here?
Yeah.
My hair. I feel as if I've been swimming underwater.
There's a hairdryer somewhere.
Oh, never mind. I'll towel it dry. Is this your room?
Yeah, but your clothes are in Fee's room.
Later. I'm so cold and wet. I must get these clothes off. I always hated that dress.
Senta. Before I realized what she was doing, she kicked off her shoes and peeled off her mud-splashed tights. She stood there naked, those strange eyes fixed on me. There could be no doubt what she intended.
Do you mind seeing me like this, Philip?
Mind? No. No, no, you're very beautiful.
I'm cold. Come here.
You feel warm.
No, I'm shivering. Make me warm, Philip. Into bed. I'm cold. I'm cold.
Center. Oh, God. She made love to me. It was the most overwhelming experience of my life. Afterwards, she lay back on the pillow and smiled at me. It's a beautiful name.
Listen, Philip. When I saw you this morning, I knew at once that you were the one. The only one for me always. I've been looking for you a long time.
But it can't have been all that long. How old are you? 20?
24. See, I tell you everything. Since I was 16, I've always known there was just one man in the world for me. And now I've found him. I believe souls come in pairs, but when we're born, they split in two, and we spend all our lives trying to find our other half. But sometimes people make mistakes and get the wrong one.
This isn't a mistake, is it? It wasn't for me.
This is forever. Shall I stay the night here with you?
I'd love you to, but I really don't think it's on. My mother...
Oh, it doesn't matter. We can go to my place.
You've a place of your own?
Of course. It's yours as well now.
Center.
Why, what's that in the corner?
That's Flora.
She looks like me.
Yes, she looks like you. I'll tell you about her sometime.
You must. I want to know all about you. We must have no secrets from each other. Get dressed and come with me now.
I obeyed her, mesmerized. I had found the real woman with Flora's face.
Where I live, Philip.
Only the trees saved it from being a slum. The area below us was full of rubbish. Tin cans, paper, orange peel.
I'm in the basement.
It smelt of something. Of dirt and disintegration.
This is my flat. Well, I only use one room, actually.
A low table with a burnt-out candle in a saucer and an empty wine bottle. A wicker chair with clothes thrown over it, a dying plant. And an enormous bed.
Well, this is it.
Who sent her?
Yes?
I want to know all about you. What do you do?
Do?
Your work. You do work, don't you?
I'm an actor.
You mean an actress?
No, I don't. You wouldn't talk about a doctoress or a lawyeress.
No, I suppose not. Would I have seen you in anything on television?
Not yet. I was at RADA. Now I'm waiting for the right part. It'd be letting myself down to take just anything, wouldn't it?
I don't know. I don't know anything about it.
But you will. You'll learn from me. I want you to have opinions about me. That's going to be the most important thing in the world, our world. What we think about each other. A spiritual interchange.
But the rest of the night wasn't particularly spiritual. And afterwards, she took over my life. For the first time, I was thankful that my mother was so vague. She never asked me where I'd been, what I was doing. Actually, she was out a lot herself. She'd a new friend, some woman called Audrey, she'd met at Fee's wedding. So every night, I drove over to Center's grubby basement flat and we made love. Did I love her? I asked myself that, but I didn't know the answer. I thought of her all the time. At work, at home, in my own bed at night. Sometimes, inside my head, I talked to her and told her all my thoughts and fears. For some reason, I couldn't tell them to the real woman. Once, I took her to an Indian restaurant. She wore a strange dress that had belonged to her grandmother, grey with silver threads woven into it.
You haven't told anyone about us, have you, Philip?
No, not yet.
Don't. I want it to be our secret, just for a little while.
All right. Senta.
Yes?
Tell me everything about yourself. We know so little about each other, really.
What do you want to know?
I told you everything. I only know that you're an actress, actor, and that you're Darren's cousin, though I find that hard to believe.
Well, I am his cousin, but my mother was an Icelandic woman. My father was in the Navy then, and he met her when they were in Reykjavik.
What do you mean was?
My mother died when I was born.
But I thought your parents were separated. You said you didn't like your mother's new boyfriend.
That's my stepmother, Rita. My real mother's name was Ryden. Ryden Nutstatter. It means Knut's daughter.
Oh, I see. Did you go to RADA straight from school?
Yes. I was top student in my year. I enjoyed my time there. I travelled a lot. On the holidays, of course. Once I took a room in the Medina at Marrakesh for 2 months. I wore Muslim women's dress because it was difficult for Western women there.
I've never been further than France.
Oh, I've been to India and to Mexico. I was in Mexico City at the time of the earthquake. It was terrible.
It must have been. Shall we go back now? I want to be alone with you.
To love me, you mean?
Back at her place, after we'd made love, I told her about Gerard and Flora and my kidnapping her from the garden in Chigwell. She listened, but I felt she wasn't paying much attention. So that's about the most exciting thing that's happened to me?
I've happened to you. Oh, it's getting dark. I'll light the lamp.
Senta, why do you dye your hair?
Does it look dyed, then?
I don't mean the hair on your head. Why do you do it?
I don't.
Of course you do. You're a silver blonde, not a redhead.
I don't. How can you not believe me? I don't. I don't.
Senta! Senta, stop! Stop! What's the matter?
I bleached the hair of my head, you fool.
Sorry. Sorry.
Never do that again.
She had alarmed me, but her outburst was soon over. I didn't believe her, but after all, it was a very small lie. Gradually, I found out more about her. Or did I? She told me a great deal, but I was never sure how much of it was true.
I went for an audition yesterday.
What for?
Quite a good part in a feature film. I didn't get it, though. Miranda Richardson got it.
Miranda Richardson?
Yes, but the director liked me. He said I was remarkable. Oh, that's encouraging, isn't it, Philip? It's worth my going for all those workouts. One day it'll pay off.
Workouts?
Oh, of course, you wouldn't know what that means. Well, it's to keep myself fit. I go to a gym in Paris Street. Lots of celebrities go there. Stage and ballet people.
Last week I had tea with Wayne Sleep.
I felt a pang of something that I recognised as fear. It frightened me that she might tell me lies. But why should it? After all, girls did lie. I remembered my last girlfriend, Jenny, telling me her tan was natural when I knew she'd had daily sessions in a sunbed. Fee and Darren were back from their honeymoon, and I realised with a shock that I'd only known Senta for 2 weeks. They came round to show Mum the wedding photographs, and I wondered again how anyone as commonplace as Darren could have a cousin like Senta.
Oh, that one's good. You look lovely, Fee, and Cheryl's come out nicely too. Phil, come and have a look at the wedding photographs.
Oh, right.
Bride and groom.
Oh, yes. Very good.
Oh, I think I look a bit stiff in that one. I prefer the one with Hardy.
Thanks very much.
I'm talking about me. You look all right. You always photograph well. Here are the bridesmaids.
Look at Senta. You can see she's done acting.
Has she?
Yeah, a bit. Oh, she's a shelf. Look at the way she's standing.
What do you mean, a bit?
Well, she went to this acting college when she left school.
What acting college? Rada?
Good heavens, no. Some big house in Ealing.
More tea, anyone?
No, thank you.
Then I'll just get these out of the way.
Oh, I'll give you a hand with the washing up.
Thank you, dear. Keep the rest of the photos till we get back, Darren.
Okay.
I do like that jumper thing. Did you buy it on your honeymoon?
Yes, it's a Guernsey.
And you bought it in Guernsey. Mm. How funny.
Mum, that's why it's called a Guernsey.
Darren?
Hmm?
Your cousin, Senta, I'd never met her till the wedding.
Well, no. Why? Oh, I see. Fancy her, do you, Phil?
I don't know her. I've only met her once. She's your first cousin.
First, second, I'm not into all that. All I know is my mum is her auntie and her dad is my uncle. That makes us cousins in my book. Come on, Phil, you do fancy her.
Well,
I could get you in there if you like. Mind you, she's a funny piece. You should see the place she lives in. It's a real dump. Fee wouldn't set foot there when they were fixing up the dresses. And she could have a nice home with Uncle Tom in Finchley. She must want her head tested.
I had this idea she'd been to Rada. I don't know why.
No way. Rada's in Bloomsbury. Her place was definitely in Ealing. Mind you, I'm sure she'd like to kid people she went to Rada.
So now I knew what I'd already suspected. My Senta was a fantasist. I didn't mind. I told myself I'd just have to learn to recognise the fantasies. I think I felt protective. Since the Indian restaurant, we'd only been out together once. I'd taken her with me to Chigwell when I went to see that everything was ready for work on the bathroom to begin. And when I'd finished at Mrs. Ripple's, I'd driven round to look at Gerard's house.
Is that it?
Yes. That's where my mother should be living instead of... Look, she's coming out. The woman he's married. Bloody Gerard Arnhem!
She stole him from your mother. I hate women like that.
I hate him more. He let Mum down badly. I wish to God I could make him pay for it. Sorry. I don't want to go on about my troubles. Let's go back to your place. And we went back to her basement room. The room where we led a strange, dark, shattered life together, half of every night spent in her bed. It was wonderful, but sometimes I felt it wasn't real. We should be together for talk and companionship, not just for sex.
Have some wine.
Thank you. To you.
To us.
Yeah, to us. Put your hair back. It's fallen over your eyes, and they're such lovely eyes. Yeah, let me. What, Senta?
What's the matter?
It's red at the roots.
Mm. I told you I bleached it. It needs redoing.
You really bleach it?
Of course. I told you. Don't you remember?
Yeah, but I thought it was more like you to do something really way out, so I didn't believe you.
What?
Well, I thought you died.
You don't trust me. You don't believe me.
Senta.
You don't trust me. How can we be one soul when you've no trust in me? I've given you my soul, and you've destroyed me.
Senta! 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 Stop! Please, stop! Oh, darling, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Is it all right now? Am I forgiven?
Yes, I'm sorry too.
Dry rice.
What a hanky.
Thank you. Philip.
Yeah?
Don't go. Don't leave me.
Darling, I must. I'll be back tomorrow.
Are you sure you want to come back?
Of course I want to. You know I want to. I'm sorry I said that about not believing you. It was tactless and stupid.
It wasn't tactless. It showed me you don't understand me at all. You don't feel at one with me. I searched all my life for you, and when I found you, I knew it was my karma. But it isn't for you. I'm just a girlfriend to you.
You know that's not true.
Philip, what do I mean to you?
Everything.
I love you.
Darling.
Oh, I didn't want to say that till I was sure. Well, I'm sure now. I'm sorry I hurt you. I was so unhappy. Can you understand that?
Of course.
Do you love me like I love you?
Yes, I do love you.
I wish it were enough saying it. But it isn't. You have to prove your love for me, and I have to prove mine for you. We each have to do some tremendous thing to prove our love for each other.
What would you like me to do?
I believe life is a great adventure. We feel the same about things, so I know you believe that too. When we make love, we have such an intensity of feeling. It's as if we experience everything fresh and new and perfect. It ought to be like that all the time. We can learn how to make it that way.
Can we?
Yes. Some people say that to live fully, you have to have done four things. Shall I tell you what they are?
Yeah.
Plant a tree, write a poem, make love with someone your own sex, and kill someone.
The first three, really, don't have much in common with the last.
Don't laugh. There are things that shouldn't be laughed at.
I wasn't laughing. I don't suppose I'll ever do any of those things, so I hope that won't mean I haven't lived. When I'm with you, I feel I'm really living.
I shall prove I love you by killing someone for you. And you must kill someone for me.
Oh, sure. Who have you got in mind?
It doesn't have to be anyone in particular.
Oh, I see.
I would know what you'd done for me, and you'd know what I'd done for you, but no one else would. We'd share these terrible secrets, and we'd really know each of us meant more than all the world to the other one.
Santa, I know you aren't serious. I know these things are fantasies with you. You may think you're deceiving me, but you're not.
What things?
Well, never mind. You know and I know.
I don't know. What things?
Well, if you must have it, about your mother and going to all those foreign places and going to auditions with Miranda Richardson. I know they're daydreams.
You don't believe what I say.
How can I when you say things like that?
All right. What don't you believe?
Look, I don't mind you having fantasies. Lots of people do. It's just a way of making life more interesting. But when you talk of killing people, it's ugly and pointless and a waste of time. It's Sunday and it's a lovely day and here we are sitting in this... Well, frankly, this disgusting hole. Why do you talk about killing people?
Are you serious about loving me? About doing anything for me?
Within reason, yes.
Within reason? Oh, how sick that makes me. Don't you see that what we have has to be beyond reason? And to prove it, we have to do the thing that's outside the law and outside reason.
You really are serious? Oh, you think you are?
I am willing to kill someone to prove my love for you. And you must do the same for me.
Santa, you're mad.
Don't ever say that.
I don't really mean it. Oh, God, let's talk about something else, please.
Are you refusing to do this?
Of course I am. You may not know this. You don't really know me yet, but I hate the whole notion of killing. Violence, it doesn't just make me sick, it bores me. And now you say you want me to kill someone? What do you think I am?
I thought you were the other half of our united souls.
Oh, don't talk such rubbish! It's all a load of crap! All this about souls and destinies. Why don't you grow up and live in the real world? You talk about living. Do you think you're living stuck here in this filthy dump? I thought I'd heard it all about going to Mexico and India and wherever and your Icelandic mother and the Flying Dutchman. But now I'm told I've got to kill some poor devil to prove I love you. Stop it! Santa, stop it! I'll get some water. Drink this.
get out of my life. I never want to see you again.
I left her without another word, but I didn't take her seriously. Well, she didn't mean it. Well, she couldn't mean it. I was sure that when I went round the next day, she'd have forgotten it all. She'd run into my arms as she always did. I was wrong.
She's in there, Gov.
What?
Girl, what lives there? Kid with grey hair. Here. You're not the fuzz, are you?
Of course not.
Well, she came home and went in there 10 minutes back.
Hmm. Thank you.
Oh, you're a nobleman, Governor. Oh, God bless you and your loved ones. Yeah, she's in all right.
But she wasn't in for me.
What shall I do? What the hell shall I do?
Mum and Cheryl were away on holiday in Cornwall. I'd looked forward to it, the chance to be with Centre all the time. Now all it meant was greater loneliness. I had begun to feel a little mad. Perhaps it was all an illusion, that I'd ever met her, ever made love to her. After all, who knew what it was like to have schizophrenia till you had it yourself? One night, the fee came over to collect the rest of her things.
Whatever happened to your eye? You been in a fight?
Someone hit me. A mistake. They thought I was someone else.
Oh, looks awful. Was it in a pub?
No, it wasn't. Shall I give you a hand with that stuff?
Oh, it's all right, thanks. Oh, no. Look at this.
What is it?
Bridesmaid's dress. It's Centre's.
How do you know it's hers?
It's the smallest. She must really have liked that dress, wasn't she? You can see she just took it off and dumped it there like rubbish. And somehow it got soaking wet first.
I suppose she just didn't think.
Mind you, she's very peculiar. Darren's mother said she'd feel left out if she wasn't a bridesmaid, but I'm sure she wouldn't have. They've really split up from the rest of the family, that lot. We asked her mother and father, but they didn't come. They didn't even answer the invitation.
Someone said that Centre had a foreign mother and that she was dead. I suppose they got hold of the wrong end of the stick.
It was something like that. Her mother died when she was born. She came from some funny place. Greenland. No, Iceland.
So that was true. She told me true things and she'd embroidered the truth. If the truth was adequate, she told it. If it hadn't enough drama, she invented. Did I do that? Did we all? I couldn't answer that. But every night I drove round and looked at her shuttered window. Every morning I telephoned. And always her door stayed closed and the telephone rang unanswered. Until one morning it was different.
Hello, this is Mike Jacopo. We are not available to speak to you right now, but if you'd like to leave a message and your name and phone number, we'll get back to you as soon as possible. Please speak after the bleep.
Hello, this is Philip Wardman. Could you please ask Centre Pelham to phone me? Centre Pelham, who lives in the basement. It's urgent. Thanks, bye-bye.
I'd half convinced myself that he was Centre's lover when I remembered that there were other people in the house and the telephone didn't belong to just her, it was in the hall. That night I drove round again. Four drunks had just come out of the pub opposite. It was all pretty sordid, almost sinister. Suddenly I felt frightened. What was I doing looking for love here? Obsessed with the woman who chose to live in such an awful place. But the thought went as quickly as it had come, for this time the front door was open.
Who's that? What the hell do you think you're doing?
Oh, I'm sorry, I was looking for Centre. The front door was open.
Well, she must have left it. She's always doing that. It's bloody careless.
Yeah, well, she's got her party. Who are you, anyway?
Philip Wardman. I'm a friend of hers.
Oh, you're the one who left a message on our answer phone?
Yes, I am. Do you live here?
Yes, in the ground floor flat. I'm Rita Pelham.
Her mother?
Stepmother, actually. It's my house, but we've been away a lot lately.
She lived with her mother. Somehow that changed things. I went home feeling almost light-hearted, ridiculously relieved. And then the solution came to me. That nonsense about murder, it was no more than a game. A private, secret game that had no connection with real life. Senta was a fantasist, and she would want her lover to have an equally fantastic dream life. She would know she was inventing, and she would expect him to do the same. Why hadn't I seen that before and saved the pain of the last days?
Darling Senta, I've missed you so terribly. I'm sorry I made such a fuss. You know I'd do anything for you. Of course I would. I love you. With all my love. For ever and ever. Philip. I posted the letter. She didn't reply. Hello?
Philip?
Oh, hello, Fee.
What happened to you?
Oh, Lord, I was supposed to be coming to have a meal with you and Darren, wasn't I?
Yes.
Well, I'm so sorry. Look, we've been run off our feet at work. I was late home.
I have to work too, you know. I went shopping in my lunch hour and bought a pie.
Oh, let me come tomorrow. I can eat it tomorrow.
Oh, we're going out tomorrow to see Darren's mum. Phil, what's happening to you? You were funny the other day and that black eye and everything. What have you been doing the moment Mum goes away?
I'm sorry, I really am.
I should think so. Look, Mum's back on Wednesday. Do you want me to shop for anything?
No, that's all right. It's just as easy for me. And I promise I won't let you down again. I'll speak to you on Wednesday, okay?
Bye.
Okay, bye.
My heart had hit my ribs when the phone rang. It was my first experience of expecting to hear one special, longed-for voice and hearing another. I was ashamed to find tears in my eyes. The evening following Mum and Cheryl's return from Cornwall, Mum announced she was going out with her new friend.
We're going to the cinema, Philip. I've left something for you in the fridge.
Thanks, Mum. When will you be back?
Oh, I don't know, dear. Film finishes at 10:30, but we might have coffee or something afterwards. We're not expecting anyone, are we?
Hello, dear. How are you? I expect you've come to see Cheryl. She's out, but she's sure to be back soon. Would you like to go and wait for her? Mm. I've got to go out myself. I'm a bit late, but Philip's in. Bye, dear. Philip.
Senta. Oh, thank God.
Am I forgiven?
There's nothing to forgive. It was wonderful of you to come over.
It seemed the only thing to do. Rita gave me your letter.
I didn't know it was her house.
No, I don't talk about them much. They're away most of the time anyway. They're going for ballroom dancing competitions.
I've missed you so much. I've been so unhappy.
Oh, so have I. Upstairs.
I love you, Senta. I do love you.
I meant it now. The last weeks had changed things, and I knew how desperately I needed her. It seemed to me that keeping Senta was more important than anything else in the world.
We do need proof of each other's love, Philip. It's not enough that we were unhappy when we were apart. That happens to anyone. To ordinary people. You and I aren't ordinary. We're more like gods.
What?
We are Ares and Aphrodite. Those old gods didn't die when Christianity came. We are Ares and Aphrodite. Mars and Venus.
Mars? I don't want to make war today.
Don't joke, Philip. You joke too much. I told you. I want you to prove your love. You said you'd do anything for me.
It's just a game. Hold on to that. I'll know I'm pretending and she'll know I'm pretending and it won't matter. The game will be over and we can forget it. But I have to make up some sort of story. Oh, more about Rebecca Neve, that's no good. And someone dead on Stornoway, or too far. What was this? The body of a man found on a demolition site in Kensal Green, northwest London, has been identified as that of John Sidney Crucifer, age 62, described as a vagrant and of no fixed address. Police are treating the case as murder. That'll do. That'll have to do.
For a moment, I wondered whether a truly sane and normal man would tell a woman he'd killed someone when he was really innocent. Then I dismissed the thought.
What's this?
Read it. It'll tell you what I did.
When did you do it?
Last night.
After you left me?
Yes.
What happened? You left here and drove to the Harrow Road, did you? I suppose you had a piece of luck and just found him there hanging about.
Let's just take it I did it.
How did you do it? How did you kill him?
I don't want to talk about it.
I know. You strangled him.
Yes.
It was dark, was it?
Yes, it was one in the morning. Don't ask me any more about it.
Oh. You did it for me.
Of course. That's what we agreed.
I hadn't enjoyed this inquisition, but now I felt relief. This particular game was over and we could forget it. Play-acting was natural to her and I'd have to make up my mind to live with it. All my life I'd been taught to be a law-abiding person. To respect authority, man-made government. Loving centre as I did, I had to change.
We don't see the world in quite the same way, you and I, Philip. I know you're going to learn to see it as I do, but it hasn't happened yet. I mean, seeing it as a place of mystery and magic, on a different plane from the dull, practical things that people waste their lives on. When you come on that plane with me, you'll find a world of wonderful, occult things where everything is possible. Nothing is barred. There aren't any policemen and there aren't any laws. You took one step towards that plane when you killed that old man for my sake. Did you know that?
I found I couldn't answer her. But I kissed her instead, and that seemed to satisfy her. One Sunday morning, I woke in her bed and reached out for her. She wasn't there. There was a note on her pillow. Back soon. I had to go out. It was important. Wait for me. Sent her.
Senta, where have you been? And what have you done to your beautiful hair?
I haven't cut it off. I just bundled it up under this cap. See?
Oh, that's better. You looked like a little boy. What's it all about?
You weren't worried. You had my note.
Well, of course, but you didn't say where you were.
I went to prove my love for you.
You don't have to prove anything.
I did what you did. I killed someone.
Senta,
listen to me. It's very important. I had to get up early because I was going to Chigwell, and it's a very long way.
Chigwell?
Well, a place called Grange Hill. It's the next station. It was the nearest one to where Gerard Arnhem lived. You have guessed, have you? It's Gerard Arnhem. I killed him for you. I killed him at 8 o'clock this morning.
You did what?
I'd been observing him. I'd been over to that house you showed me twice last week. He takes his dog for a walk in those woods every morning before he goes to work.
His dog?
Yes, a little black dog, Scotty. I chose Arnhem because he was your enemy.
How did it happen?
I came up to him holding my eye. I said I'd got something in my eye and it was hurting, and would he help me get it out? That was clever, wasn't it?
Yes, very clever.
He was as near to me as you are now. I held my face up and he bent down to look at it. I knew where to strike. I stabbed him in the heart with a glass dagger.
With what?
My Venetian dagger. Didn't I ever show you? I did have two. They're made of Murano glass. I did feel sorry for the poor little dog, though. It ran up to him and started this awful whimpering.
A glass dagger? I marvelled at her inventiveness. For half a minute I'd believed her, but now I recognised another fantasy. Gerard Arnhem disliked dogs. He wouldn't have had one in the house.
I was frightened coming back in the train. I wasn't sure if there was any blood on my clothes, and I kept thinking people were looking at me, but I'm sure they weren't. When you plunge those daggers in, they break off at the handle and only leave a scratch to show. The victim doesn't even bleed.
No?
No. Anyway, I put on jeans and got my hair hidden so people would think I was a boy. I'll take these clothes off now, though. I don't feel quite clean after all that.
She undressed and stood there smiling at me.
I'm tired now. I think I'll go to bed. Philip?
A terrible thing had happened.
I didn't want her anymore. All desire had gone.
What's the matter?
Nothing. You get some sleep. I don't feel... I mean, I'm anxious for you, Senta.
You needn't be. No one will find out.
I couldn't understand it. You couldn't love someone as I had loved her and then be turned off by nothing more than lies and daydreams. For that was all they were. Weren't they? When Monday evening came, I drove round as usual, but it was an ordeal. The front door was open again.
Senta?
Philip. Oh, Philip.
What's the matter?
You're late. You left me yesterday. You went while I was asleep. I thought you were never coming back.
Of course I came back.
I thought I was never going to see you again.
I held her in my arms. It was like hugging a frightened child. Don't cry, please. Look, let's go out tonight. We'll have a meal somewhere.
Why?
Please.
All right. That's what you want.
We were so happy once. Why did we spoil it with all those lies?
Philip, what's wrong?
Nothing. Just, I'm worried for you.
You needn't be. I'm not afraid of the police. It's not the first time, anyway. They're just the agents of a society whose rules mean nothing to people like us. Philip?
Yes?
Do you remember me telling you I had a secret? I'm going to tell it now. I was in love with someone else once. At least I thought I was.
It doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't. I now know what love really is. You needn't be jealous.
I'm not jealous. What happened to him?
He left me for another girl. I hate women who steal like that. That woman Arnhem married. I hated her because of your mother. Because she'd hurt someone belonging to you. Philip.
Yes?
I don't want any more to eat. Let's go home. Let's be by ourselves.
We went back and I made love to her. I had to. I closed my eyes and pretended we were back in my bed at home, as we were the first day I met her. Now I was learning to fantasize too. In the morning I kissed her goodbye before I left, but I felt as though I were kissing a corpse. And then everything changed.
What? Oh God, how wonderful! Mr. Arnhem! Mr. Arnhem!
Yes? Why, it's...
Philip. Philip Woodman, how are you? It's good to see you.
And you. How are you, Philip? How's life treating you? I'd no idea you worked round here.
I don't, actually. I had to visit our head office today. I don't often go there.
How's your mother?
Fine, she's fine. My sister Fee's married now.
Ah, yes, I remember. Have you got time for a quick drink?
Well, no, I'm afraid I'm in a bit of a rush. Oh. I'm running late as it is.
Ah, well, some other time then. Would it be all right if I gave your mother a ring sometime for old time's sake?
She's still at the same place.
Yes, I've got a number. I've moved, of course.
Give her a ring if you want to. She's out a lot, but you may catch her.
I will. Well, goodbye, Philip. It was nice seeing you again.
Why had I ever hated Senta's room? I loved it now, and I loved her again. That night we slept in each other's arms, and there was no need for make-believe.
Philip, why don't you come here and live with me?
I've been thinking about that, but you once told me you used to live in the top flat.
I did, but I didn't need all those rooms.
But if there were two of us...
It's a mess upstairs now.
Well, we could clean it up and paint it. We could get some furniture.
Isn't it good enough for you down here?
It's too small. Doesn't it seem silly for the two of us to try to live down here when the top flat's going begging? Or wouldn't Rita like it?
Rita wouldn't mind. The thing is, I like it down here. I'm going to tell you something.
What?
I have a bit of an agoraphobic problem. Do you know what that is?
Of course I do.
Don't be cross. You must never be cross with me. It's why I don't go out very much and why I like living below ground.
I hope we're going to live together all our lives, Santa. And I don't want to spend 50 years in a burrow.
Well, I'll ask Rita. Will that do?
Wonderfully. I want everyone to know about us now.
Yes. You can tell them all. It's time to tell.
Senta? That's nice, dear.
Well, you do know who I mean. Senta, who was one of Fee's bridesmaids.
Yes. Tom Pelham's girl. I said it was nice. So long as you're fond of each other, I think it's very nice.
Tom Pelham?
Yes, Darren's uncle. The one with an ex-wife that dances and lives with a young boy.
That's right. Senta's got a flat in their house.
She reacted as if I'd been talking about an ordinary girl. Nice.
I don't believe it. You're kidding.
Pulling our legs.
No, I'm not.
You mean that all this time, ever since my wedding, you've been going out with her?
Well, yeah.
And you let me go on about your fancying her.
Well, she didn't want people to know, not then.
Well, I do think that's underhand.
Yeah.
Are you engaged or anything?
Not exactly, but we soon will be. We'll put an announcement in the Times.
No one does that sort of snobby stuff in our family. Well, you are daft, going on like that. But why on earth didn't you tell us sooner?
Why have you brought me up here? Are you kidnapping me, Philip?
Yeah, for the rest of your life. Hampstead Heath isn't all that romantic, but it's the best I could manage. Santa, I want to marry you. Will you be my wife?
Yes, Philip. I'll marry you. I want to marry you very much. We were destined for each other from the beginning of time. Philip.
No, no, not here. I'll take you home.
It's dark. I'll put up the shutters.
No, I'll do it.
You keep taking me out these days. You're trying to cure me of my phobia, aren't you?
That old boy's gone. I haven't seen him for weeks.
What old boy?
The old boy used to sit outside.
On our steps? You can't mean him.
Why can't I? That's the one I do mean.
But that was John Crucifer.
Who?
You ought to know. You killed him.
You mean he was the man who was murdered in Kensal Green?
Of course. You must have known. Didn't you pick him on purpose?
Why should I?
I thought you killed him because he was my enemy.
What do you mean?
Well, he asked me for money once. I hadn't any to give him, and he shouted after me horrid things.
Why did you think I knew that?
Because you know my thoughts. We're so close, we can read each other's minds.
Santa, sit down. I've got to talk to you.
All right. What is it?
Give me your hand. We must never talk about killing again. Not even as a joke. Killing isn't a joke. It never can be.
I never said it was.
No, but you made up stories about it. I'm just as bad. I did it too. You pretended you killed someone and I pretended I killed someone, and it doesn't matter now because neither of us really had. But it's bad for us to go on talking about it as if it were real. Can't you understand that?
I'll never mention it again. I understand, Philip. You're very conventional still. You were glad when you found out I lived with my mother, weren't you? It made things seem respectable. Oh, how could you be otherwise with that family? You were brought up to be very straight and rigid, and you aren't going to change in a couple of months. I do understand it makes things easier for you if there are things we don't talk about. Let's have some wine.
If you're going to drink any more wine, we ought to eat something.
Are you telling me I drink too much?
No, but I think you don't eat enough. I'm trying to look after you.
Yes. Take care of me, Philip. Take care of me. Always.
Philip, what the hell are you doing here?
Sorry?
I said get over to Chigwell.
Right, I don't think...
I told you yesterday, Mrs. Ripple's still dissatisfied with her marble what's-it. I told you to get over to Chigwell first thing.
I don't remember that.
Oh, don't you? Well, you better get over there straight away. God, no wonder the company's going down the drain.
We'd just about given up on you, hadn't we, Pearl?
I'm very sorry, Mrs. Ripple. There was a misunderstanding.
I called Mrs. Brown next door in so that I had a witness to your people's inefficiency. Didn't I, Pearl?
Yes, you did, Mary.
And now you are here, you can explain why I've had to put up with this shoddy mess.
How much did you say you had to pay for this job, dear?
£6,542.95.
Highway robbery. Look at that.
But that isn't a fault or damage. That's the character of the stone. Oh. Marble's a natural substance. It isn't as if it's plastic, which can be made with a perfectly smooth surface.
I should just hope it isn't plastic, considering what I paid for it. Of course I want marble, but I want a proper piece, without cracks.
Well, I'll have the matter looked into. You'll probably hear from me in a day or two.
Or a week or two.
If I'm lucky.
Philip, I've got good news.
I could do with it.
Why? What's wrong?
No, just about that work. What's this good news?
Well, I hope you'll think it's good news. You can come and live here.
On the top floor?
Yes.
Do you really mean that? Can we?
Yes. Rita doesn't mind.
But you don't feel comfortable up there. I don't want you to make yourself miserable for me.
Philip, I want to tell you something. I love you far, far more than I thought I would when we first met. I didn't know I was capable of loving anyone so much.
Darling.
So, you see, I couldn't be miserable anywhere if you were there. Rita doesn't want any rent. Well, of course, that means we wouldn't have a proper tenancy, but I don't think she'd throw us out. We won't put off moving. We'll start on Friday. There's just one thing I want you to help me with first. I'm so happy, Philip. I've never been so happy in my life.
Oh, evening, Gov.
What?
Well, it ain't all that good, is it? On your way home, are you?
Yes, but where have you been? I haven't seen you for weeks.
Well, I've been in hospital, ain't I? Been having me prostate done. In my mode of living, as you might say, it's not desirable having an urgent need to pee every 10 minutes. Mind you, I was going bonkers in that hospital.
Why?
Oh, it's the doors. It's doors being shut that I can't stomach. 6 of us in this room. 5 others and me. Oh, it's all right by day, but come the night, they shut the door. I sweat like a pig when the door's shut. Then they made me go convalescent. You're not going straight back on the streets, they said. Oh, made me sound like a whore.
Well, I'm very glad to see you back. Here's something to celebrate.
Oh, thank you, Gov. You're a gentleman.
Well, I suppose that's an improvement.
At least you won't get soap and goodness knows what else trapped in the cracks.
Yeah. If you're happy with the marble, I'll take it upstairs. The fitter will be along before the end of the week.
Have you noticed, Pearl? It's always the same with these people. The beginning of the week is Wednesday morning, but before the end of the week is late Friday afternoon.
I was very conscious of the weight of that marble slab. The truth was, I felt disturbed. Arnhem's wife had been coming out of Mrs. Ripple's house when I arrived. She looked older close to. Thinner and older. And she had a little black dog with her. I could see from the bathroom window that our garden was neglected. It wasn't just that Flora had gone. The grass was rank and full of weeds. I felt panic-stricken. In some fearful, unimaginable way, I had to know the truth. When I came downstairs, the living room door was open. I couldn't help hearing them. And then I knew.
You know who that was?
Who?
The woman with the dog who came in to ask if I knew anyone who'd help her with the garden.
Oh, yes. I didn't catch her name.
Myerson. Her husband was murdered. When would it have been? About a month ago.
Murdered?
Yes, Harold Myerson. He was murdered in Haynor Forest on a Sunday morning. A beautiful summer morning. He was stabbed through the heart when he was out with that dog.
But I told you I killed him, Philip. I stabbed him with my glass dagger. I told you.
Oh, God.
I see now. I must have killed the wrong man. But you did tell me Gerard Arnhem lived there. You showed me the house. It was your mistake, not mine.
Oh, God.
It doesn't really matter, does it? It doesn't matter who I killed. The point was to kill someone to prove my love for you. Well, you made a mistake, too. It wasn't the old down and out outside that you killed. Well, next time we'll be better at it. We'll be more careful.
Just shut up! Shut up! Shut up! Shut up! I'm sorry I hit you. I went mad.
It doesn't matter.
It does. I shouldn't have hit you.
You can hit me if you want to. You can do anything you like with me. I love you.
It was all true, then?
Oh, yes, it was all true. Of course it was. I didn't know you doubted me. I thought you trusted me.
Senta! Oh, Senta!
Poor Philip. Poor Philip. Don't be sad. You mustn't be sad. Love me.
No!
Philip!
Senta, I can't! I can't! Look, we have to decide what to do. You must tell me only the truth from now on.
Yes.
Well, what did you mean when you said it wasn't the first time, when we were talking about the police?
I killed someone else once, with the other dagger. I had this boyfriend called Martin, Martin Hunt, and he left me for another girl. You don't mind, do you? I'd never have spoken to him if I'd known I was going to meet you.
What about him?
You are going to protect me. You are going to go on loving me, aren't you? Aren't you, Philip?
Yes.
Oh, Philip, you're jealous. I want you to be jealous. Oh, I know it's not kind of me, but I can't help it.
I'm not jealous. I know he wasn't important to you. I'm worried for you. I'm worried what's going to happen. Don't you see the glass dagger links the two deaths?
I love you. I love you better than I love me, so why should I care what becomes of me? I get jealous. If you ever found another girl, I'd kill her. I wouldn't hurt you, but I'd kill her.
I didn't know what to say. I didn't know whether I was more afraid of the law or of her.
I didn't think you'd be in, Philip. There was food in the fridge. Did you find this?
Yes, I wasn't very hungry.
Hello!
You remember Gerard?
Of course.
We met the other day.
We've been for a picnic. Gerard rang me yesterday. He took the day off and we had this picnic in Epping Forest. Mm. It was ever so nice. Like real country.
How are you, Philip? You've been in the wrong place today.
Where do you live now?
Where do I? Oh, I'm still in Buckhurst Hill, but on the other side of the high road. I didn't move far.
I wanted so much to see Gerard's house. We were quite near, but he said it wasn't fit for visitors yet. He'd have to give it a good clean first.
I suppose the truth is he didn't want her to see you got rid of Flora.
What? Gerard, you didn't get rid of Flora, did you?
I'm sorry. I'm desperately sorry. Philip's quite right. I didn't want you to know. You'd have been bound to ask where she was.
If you didn't like her, I wish you'd said.
Christine, I did like her. Don't look like that.
You sold her to some people in Chigwell.
I didn't sell her.
You gave her, then?
No. It was an accident. They auctioned the house and its contents while I was in America, and the statue shouldn't have been included. I'd left instructions, but there was a mix-up and it was sold. I couldn't get it back. As a matter of fact, that's why I didn't get in touch with you, Christine. I funked telling you. I missed you very much, you know.
Well, that's over. I hope you feel it's cleared the air. I'll make us all some tea.
Flora. She'd started it all. There was no point in keeping her upstairs now. When Anna had gone, I took her downstairs and put her in the garden, where she used to stand. I could explain to Mum later. Had she always looked so tawdry, so scruffy? I couldn't sleep. I kept remembering something Senta had said, a name I'd heard before.
I had this boyfriend called Martin. Martin Hunt.
Martin Hunt? Philip, what's come over you? Calling at breakfast time to ask about Martin Hunt. Anyway, you must know who he is. What's wrong with your memory these days?
Is he dead?
Dead? I shouldn't think so. He's only about 25. Why should he be dead?
Who is he?
Oh, I don't know him. It was Rebecca I knew. He was Rebecca Neve's boyfriend. Why did you want to know?
Someone told me he'd been killed in a car crash.
I shouldn't think so. We'd have heard.
Oh, I nearly forgot. Mum rang half an hour ago, very excited. She said Flora was back. It sounded as if she'd walked in of her own accord.
Yeah, I happened to find her. I thought Mum would like her, so I got her back.
Why didn't you say? Mum thinks it's a miracle.
I'm sure she doesn't really. Anyway, I'll explain.
Did you come all the way over here at this hour just to ask me about a bloke you didn't even know you'd heard of?
I had dreaded the evening. I made myself drive over to centre as usual. No, I can't. I had to tell her. I had to tell her it was over. She had killed twice. She would kill others. She was made that way. All the rest of my life, even if I never saw her again, I would be marked by it. I had to tell her that what she had done had destroyed my love for her. But how was I to handle her love for me? Hello.
Philip, I saw you. Why did you do it? I saw your car in the street. You drove away and left me.
I know. I couldn't come in.
But why?
You know why. It's over. We can't see each other again. It's better never to see each other. You can go back to your life and I'll start mine again.
I haven't any life except with you.
Look, we only knew each other for 3 months. That's nothing out of a lifetime. We'll forget each other.
I love you, Philip. You said you loved me. I must see you. You must come here.
Santa, it won't do any good. Goodbye.
I must see you. I can't live without you.
What's the use?
Is it because of Martin? Philip, I'm not making this up. This is real. I never slept with him. He didn't want me. He wanted that girl. He only went out with me once.
It isn't that.
That's why the police never came near me. There was nothing to connect me.
Santa. All right, I won't end this without seeing you again. That would be cowardly. I promise I won't do it. I'll see you and we'll end it.
If I said I'd never done it, if I said I'd made it all up...
Good night.
Who was that?
No one. That is no one you know. Business.
Oh. Poor Gerard rang this afternoon. He asked me out to dinner tonight and I said no. He was upset.
Well, you were upset when he didn't come near you for months and months.
Was I? I don't think he'll be back and I'm not sorry. Aubrey wouldn't have liked it.
What's it got to do with her?
Not her, dear. Him. My friend Aubrey. I told you about him.
I thought you said Audrey.
No, Aubrey. I met him at Fee's wedding. I haven't kept it a secret. I always told you when I was going out with him. He wants to marry me, as a matter of fact.
What?
Would you mind?
Of course I wouldn't. I'm pleased.
I just thought I'd ask.
When's it going to be?
Oh, I don't know that, dear. By the way, you missed a bit of excitement this morning. The police were round.
What?
Oh, it wasn't anything, really. Those new people next door were having a row, shouting at each other, and some busybody rang the police. They came and went away again. I suppose it's the sort of thing they'd call a domestic incident.
Rosebery Lawn Interiors? Yes, he's in. Philip, it's for you, Mr. Gates.
Who? Philip Wardman speaking.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Wardman. I'm a police officer, Detective Sergeant Gates, CID.
What's it all about?
We're making inquiries about a stolen statue. It was taken from a garden in Chigwell. We understand you've been in the area and we'd like to ask you a few questions, if you can spare us some of your time. At home or in your office, whichever you prefer.
I had to go to Chigwell this morning to see a client. I could come to you.
Thank you, sir. Now, that would suit us.
Thank you for coming in, sir. This is Inspector Morris. He'll put you in the picture.
I'll be frank with you, Mr. Wardman. We asked you to come here as a result of a rather interesting coincidence.
Oh, yes?
There was an incident in your area, a minor matter, and a number of officers paid a visit to a house near you. During the course of this, a woman officer saw a certain statue in your garden.
Oh.
She very intelligently connected it with the one missing from Mrs. Myerson's garden. The description was on the Metropolitan Police computer.
Is it valuable, then?
Mrs. Myerson's late husband paid £18 for it at auction. I don't know if you'd call that valuable.
I did take it. I stole it, if you like, but I did think, mistakenly as it happens, that I had a right to it. Are you going to charge me with stealing it?
Is that your chief concern, Mr. Boardman?
What? I don't understand. Do you want me to make a statement?
If you would.
Well, the truth is, the statue originally belonged
to... Wait a minute, sir. We need a record of this.
So I took it. I thought I was entitled to. I had no idea it had been sold. I'm prepared to compensate Mrs. Myerson.
I'm not sure the owner is particularly concerned about the statue in the present circumstances.
Is that all, then?
All for now, yes.
Are you going to prosecute me for taking the statue?
Oh, I don't think that will be necessary, sir. It would be rather a waste of time and the public's money. Thank you for coming in.
Mrs. Ripple's happy about things now, thank goodness. Any messages?
Oh, yes. Mr. Morris has been on the phone for you.
Did he leave a number?
He'll call back. I said you wouldn't be long. Oh, that might be him now. Rosebery Lawn Interiors. Yes, he's here now. Philip...
Thanks. Hello?
Inspector Morris here. Have you got a girlfriend, Mr. Boardman?
Why do you ask?
Well, perhaps you know a girl with very long blonde hair. Well, silver blonde. A rather small girl, no more than 5 feet tall.
I haven't got a girlfriend.
Philip, come in. I was waiting for you. I saw the car.
Sometimes.
I knew you'd come. I felt it. I said to myself, Philip will come back to me. He didn't mean what he said. He couldn't mean it.
Santa, I have to talk to you.
Come upstairs. You said you'd help me with something I have to do, that we have to do before we can live there.
Live there? But...
Oh, I should have done it myself, but I'm not strong enough.
Couldn't Jacopo...
They're away. Anyway, they mustn't know. We have to do this before they come back. Come in. It's quite big, isn't it?
A smell like a butcher shop left open for several long, hot days. She turned and looked at me. Looked at me with eyes that seemed to me as remote as Flora's. Remote and mad.
It's in here.
There was something there. Something that had once been a girl. Propped up against the wall and still dressed in green velvet. I had found Rebecca Neve.
No! Come away! We can't stay here!
We won't. You've got your car. I thought we could carry it down and put it in my room until it gets dark and then...
Shut up! For God's sake, stop!
Philip!
Nascenta, listen. I've given you away to the police.
What?
I didn't mean to, but I have. They'll come here. They'll be here soon.
How? Philip, how?
Because of Flora. Someone must have seen you with me, and then later when you... I'll try to get you away. We'll use my car.
I don't want to go away. Where would I go? I don't want to be anywhere without you. You do still love me.
I... Yes.
Was I lying? By now, I didn't know. Listen.
Is it them?
Yes.
They've come for me.
I think they have.
You won't leave me.
I won't leave you.
I love you. I really love you.
I know. You only lie about the little things. She crept into my arms. And I held her tight. The things we remember at terrible times. When I stole the statue, I had thought they wouldn't send a police car out for something like that. But they would for this. They would for this.
In The Bridesmaid by Ruth Rendell and dramatized by Betty Davis, Philip was played by Jamie Glover Santa by Rachel Lewis, Christine, Frances Jeter, and Fee, Rachel Atkins. Cheryl, Una Beeson, Gerard, James Taylor, Darren and Detective Sergeant Gates, Michael Onslow. The Old Tramp, newscaster and photographer, were played by John Evetts. Mrs. Ripple and Mrs. Neve by Margaret John. Roy, Mike and Detective Inspector Morris, Lyndon Gregory. Pearl and Rita, Tina Gray. The Bridesmaid was directed by Tracy Neal.